Michael and I have been building his brand using authentic video content for a few months now, and recently it's begun to pick up steam. And so there's been some inspiration to have a chat about just the work we've been doing in the interest of building in public, sharing the lessons we're learning, and hopefully inspiring some of you that feel called a bit, but maybe are not sure where to begin or feeling a little intimidated. Michael's come a long way with his video presence, as far as I'm concerned. And I mean, just in the last, what, month, things are really starting to pick up for you, huh?
Yes. So yeah, Jordan, it's been a fun ride. You know, we've been working on this for like 3 months now and, you know, really figuring out how to hone in on an authentic personal brand and how to leverage that for, you know, other things in your life or other professional pursuits. And I think we're doing a great job. And it's been fun building this out. And that's kind of what one of the things that I realized is that as I build this out, I've seen other people do this as well. This is what gave me the idea. But you can build in public. And so you can share the experiences. You can share what's working for you. It's like real time, you know, information for people to learn from. And it's not just like, you know, written in a book. It's actually like, hey, this is what we're experiencing as we build. So if you're building as well, you know, this is information could be potentially helpful. And so, and there's multiple other benefits to building in public, but yeah, I figured that kind of is what we'll do here. We'll have an actual strategy session between you and I, talk about just an overview because we've been moving so quickly on all these different other projects that, you know, what we do is we get together and we just kind of have a discussion every once in a while. And like regather our thoughts and kind of try to make some sense out of it and put some order to them. And so I figured, why not just do this out in the open so people can see how others work with each other and maybe apply some of the same things that we apply to our meetings or even so people might relate and might have feedback for us and tell us, you know, cover our blinds, so to say, and have information that could potentially help us. So I figured, just do it out in the open.
You know, and all of a sudden done, it's another form of providing value. And it's definitely a creative form of providing value, doing just what you'd be doing anyway, just doing it live like this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because we did this on a Twitter Spaces, but there wasn't a video component to it yesterday. And so it just feels, I don't know, it feels a little more like, what would you call that? Like on the spot, now knowing that we're doing a live broadcast. I've never done a live broadcast before. So it's like, just knowing that is messing with my psychology a little bit.
Really? Yeah. I mean, so I have a camera set up here and the screen is over there. So this is me looking at you and this is me looking at the camera, which I'm sure feels better for you, but I'm not looking at a human right now. So I have a similar element as yesterday where when it was just audio, I was feeling like, okay, I got to stay focused because I was still trying to record myself so we could use it for something else. Gotcha. But yeah, the psychology for me is I think it's more powerful media to people face to face, even if it's digital, but at least we see each other, we're picking up on cues, we're having a conversation. Yet because of my priority to try to make higher quality video content, and I also don't have a very good stage from my webcam, so because of that then here I am messing up with the psychology, but we're doing it anyway.
So yeah, here we go. So you know, and that's something that we could talk about as well real quick, is that a lot of what we're doing is learning as we go, learning what works for us. So, and through that, it's like an iterative process, right? So this is our first live stream. So we know kind of next time if we want to improve on it, we've already picked on what elements need to kind of change and how to set up our environment so we have a more productive or a more, you know, smooth live stream. So like, that's a lot of what it's like building.
Yeah.
Would you say so?
Yeah, optimizing all the variables. You can't optimize for what you don't yet understand, what you haven't yet experienced or gone through the failures. How are you going to know? to work on those things before you actually realize they exist.
Yeah. Yeah, you just kind of have to take action and be okay with not things not being optimal at first, but working towards that. So,
right.
And that's been a cool experience.
So, where do we begin here? Let's go through this Notion document here. So, what has your objective been, Michael?
So, okay, my objective is to build an authentic personal brand, right? To build in public as I'm building out this. Hold on 1 second. I think my
Is that a dog over there?
No, it's the it's the robot that cleans the floor. I think it's my pet robot. Oh, yeah. Let me go help him out real quick. I'll be right back.
Unrelated, I think these robots might be banned completely if this TikTok ban goes through, because I'm pretty sure most of them connect to some Chinese server out there. This has been something on my mind the last few hours. Maybe I should mute his microphone, huh? But yeah, kind of a scary law for United States citizens. The federal government will just be able to say what you can and can't use online. And so I was just saying, Michael, with this TikTok ban, we probably can't use these robot vacuums, because a lot of them do connect to Chinese servers.
Dude, I have no idea what's going on with that stuff, man.
Crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy. Well, it's like, listen, Patriot times 100.
I'm taking advantage of whatever access we have to technology, you know, regardless.
Right now.
Yeah, right now. Let's soak it in.
Use it right now. All right. So you're building an authentic personal brand.
Yeah. It's weird saying that, you know, it's weird even saying that out loud, because I mean, really what I'm doing is, you know, creating an online presence, but a lot of it is, you know, projecting who I am, through multiple avenues, whether it be Twitter or whether it be like YouTube or whatever. And it's in order to leverage it for altruistic purposes, as well as like, I don't know what you would call it. I don't want to say selfish, but self-serving purposes as well. Like, you know, basically being able to, you know, connect with other people, inspire them to build a life that's aligned with their values and their interests. Part of this is to help, you know, inspire men to pursue purpose. It's something that I'm doing, and in a world that's becoming more and more purposeless, especially with the introduction of AI, you know, it's like you're gonna have to go out there and find your own adventure to be a part of in order to get that purpose, because I think it's something that's internal and that we yearn for. And when we don't have it, it doesn't, there's an imbalance, I think, that occurs.
Yeah, when all our base needs are essentially met just by society's encouragement to just be a slave, almost a robot, then you don't have to worry about food, you don't have to worry about your shelter, you don't have to worry about anything, except, you know, maybe you decide to have kids or something. But even that's not full-time purpose, right? Maybe it is for some very dedicated mothers, but even being a father isn't full-time purpose. And then going to a job, like, how often is that actually purposeful? It can be. But I think for most people, it definitely isn't. And I hear you loud and clear. I think we're all, like, in a general sense, starting to rediscover what it means to have self-interest in our actions, but they just so happen to be of service to the world as well. And that's what I found in this whole creator economy, is there's so much space for that. And it also correlates with Bitcoin as well, I think. You know, it's kind of built in. There's definitely a self-interest in Bitcoin going up, but also the technology is freedom technology.
Yeah. But when you think of it, like, okay, because our base needs are met, and now we can move up like Maslow's hierarchy of needs and get to self-actualization. You know, a lot of that is, you know, designing a life that's aligned with your internal composition, right? And so... you know, we've reached a point here where we can do that, and it's like, why not go for it? Because that right there, where, you know, multiple aspects of your life are aligned. So for instance, you know, if you're a Christian or if you're a Bitcoiner, but you're working for a corporation that goes against the interests of those values that you've inherited from that identity, then, you know, that there's that, you know, what do you call that? Where you believe two different views at the same time. I forgot the word. And you're froze up. But anyways, yeah, I think that if we can build a life that's aligned with us on totally different, on all the different planes of life, I think that it's a lot more fulfilling. And I think that we have the ability to do so now. That's like the sovereign individual right there, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny, going back to that TikTok ban thing, it's funny how like we have the ability to do this as we like have to navigate this labyrinth of like all these other forces trying to like not allow that to happen. But here we are. We're like, wow, abundance and freedom is everywhere. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought about that too. And it's like, you know, once you just figure that out, it's like, okay, I have to maneuver around this amorphous blob of dark energy, you know, and that's fine. Like that's what we have the skills for that. We have the intellect for that. God gave us the abilities to do that, you know? And so let's do it. And then, you know, as we find our spots and settle, and we can start to influence the places around us, and they become like strongholds against this amorphous blob of dark energy, you know? And that's how we start to shift and change the world.
I find it fascinating that, well, it goes back to this Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It goes back to that sense of complacency and comfort when you just do your slave thing. I'm like, it's cool, everything's done, but there's a lack of purpose. Whereas when you realize, oh shoot, I gotta escape, I gotta go to a different place in order to accomplish my goals, to achieve my dreams, to chase my dreams, to achieve my visions, then it gives you a sense of purpose just right off the bat. Because in order to get to that space, it is a base need on the hierarchy, right? To be in a place where you can actually start focusing on art, creativity, these higher levels of thought, of consciousness, I guess, you have to be able to be in a physical place where you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So it gives you purpose just right off the bat. It gives you purpose back in that root, that core essence of being human, which is physical.
You know what I'm also finding? That looking for that alignment, you know, and looking for that purpose itself is super fun and rewarding, right? Like my trips to El Salvador, you know, my networking online, like, you know, trying to surround myself with people who think like me, going to conferences and stuff like that. Just trying to find that alignment leads to adventure. And that adventure is like, yeah, super fun. It makes life worth living in a lot of ways. And then, you know, and then when you find that alignment, it's like, okay, so now you found that alignment, what can you build? You know? So there's another adventure that awaits. But I think like the pursuit as well as, you know, what comes after, they're both like super rewarding.
Well, does the pursuit ever really end, right? Or does it just keep progressing up this hierarchy, so to speak?
I don't know. Good question. I'm right in the middle of it. So you know, if I ever find Nirvana, I'll let you know.
Well, right. So it's like, here you are, you're trying to build an authentic personal brand, build a company in public in El Salvador, yet you wouldn't be able to do that if you were struggling to eat, right? Struggling to live in a safe place. So in some kind of karmic way, that those first things were just taken care of by the time of your birth. And then now it's like step by step. And then once you do build this company in El Salvador, then by then you've built the brand because you've built in public and you've done that. And so then what happens when you have the brand? Then there's a new pursuit, and it'll just go on. Otherwise, what happens in life? What do we do if there's no pursuit?
You know what I'm thinking? An online personal brand, right? Because this is what you said, you establish your brand and then you have a pursuit and then a pursuit and then a pursuit, right? But the establishment of an online personal brand, it allows for those pursuits to happen, you know? In a lot of ways, an online personal brand is your reputation, right? Especially if you're building your brand off of who you are as a person, right? Your interests, you know, your beliefs, your internal composition, you know, like an online brand basically is a projection of your reputation as a person. And that allows people to either resonate with you, and then, you know, all of a sudden you, like, you get offered these pursuits, right? Because of your online brand. Mm-hmm. It's like the base layer. So it opens up a lot of opportunities, but it, in multiple ways for yourself and to help other people out on their path and on their journey, right? You become a reference point for people. And so I think that's another thing that I'm discovering about building this brand out.
Yeah, it adds more, it adds layers of purpose, really. I just posted about this in my recent email on my newsletter, and that is how what I was initially setting out to do to build my own brand, essentially, has evolved so much. It's changed so much, and I couldn't be happier, even though it looks nothing like what my original intentions were.
Yeah, and it's a discovery process for yourself, too.
And like you mentioned, these opportunities come up, opportunities for new pursuits. And depending on your level of flexibility, I guess, depending on your goals, your priorities, then in my experience, being able to run with the punches, go with the flow, then you'll find all these opportunities open up to you in ways that you can never anticipate. And I think you're actually a good example of this, Michael. When we first met, 6 months ago, like, your brand was completely different. Your messaging, your vibe, everything about it. And now look where you are. Do you want to run through that transition a little bit? Because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't given it much thought, but I think that, you know, whatever, let's go through it and do the first layer of it. That'd be great. So originally, knew I wanted to break into video content, and all of this started from me starting a coaching business, or attempting to start a personal development coaching business. And the reason that I was building that business out is because I was going through my own journey of transformation. And so I wanted to have an avenue to share what I'm learning and to help other guys, to teach other guys. You know, it's a good way of solidifying and putting into practice what you're reading about, right? Because it's one thing to read, and it's another thing to actually apply the principles that you're reading to your life and integrate them into who you are as a human being. And so a lot of that can be done by teaching. So that's why I started my coaching practice. But you have insecurities that come along with that, especially when it comes to, you know, making video content. There's like, you know, you don't feel qualified to talk about these things in a lot of ways. So that really came off in my dialogue. That came off through my demeanor, my video presence, and so forth. And I wanted a way to get out of that, you know. And what I found, it's a combination of both mindset, developing the right mindset, but also either becoming so good at what you know and what you're teaching, right, that it just flows off the tongue naturally, or being an example, like actually putting these principles into your life. And for me, it's building in public, right? And that establishes the credibility, and that establishes the confidence to start breaking out of your shell. So now, you know, because I'm building, it gives me purpose. That purpose gives me confidence, right, to do what I need to do. For instance, I spoke in front of a group for the first time, or a crowd for the first time in my life, a crowd of strangers. I did it because I saw it necessary to promote my presence in El Salvador and my business that I'm building down there, right? I had to introduce myself to this Bitcoin community. I wouldn't have done that unless I had that business that I'm building, right? Like, so in a lot of ways, you need something credible that you could point back to. It's either you know the material so well that you're an expert, or that you have proof of work, basically, that these principles work in your real life, And so you have the validation to now talk about it. So, but yeah, it's all of this is breaking me out of my shell and helping me connect and communicate better with people. That's ultimately the goal for this is to connect and communicate better my message. And so, you know, understanding that as well, you know, having that as the why versus making money is a big part of it too. But you kind of have to work towards that understanding and realization. So for us, it took about 6 months, you know, and it took some luck, but it also took some preparations to be in the right place for that luck to occur. You know, like we made a lot of our luck just by taking the initiative to go to El Salvador. And even during El Salvador, that's the first time you and I met. And, you know, I was totally camera shy, right? You had this idea where I was going to be a character. Not a character, but like, what would you call that? A central role in the
a
footage.
Host,
that you,
yeah, a subject.
And I had no idea this was your intention for me, right? And so all of a sudden, I'm on the spot. And you're like, here's the microphone, interview this person. And I was like, dude, I don't even know what to say. Like, I have no idea. And you're like, you had to guide me through that process, right? You had to be like, ask her this question, ask her that question. And so little by little, I started. Now I had the ability within me, you know, but it's just like the nerves or whatever it is didn't allow me to break through that thought process necessary in order to take those actions, you know. But now since that barrier has been broken, you know, now all of this is just like it's open sailing from here on out on what I can create.
Yeah, and the confidence you have on screen, your presence has. Oh, it's night and day. One day I'm still going to put this on screen, that one video you sent me, that one little reel where you're just like a robot talking to the camera. And one thing I wanted to say that I kind of heard and interpreted from you explaining your process is something we mentioned yesterday about having our unique and wholesome message. It takes time to develop. It takes time to see it, to really understand what it is. And we only will learn that through our audience. Like I like to say, if we're here, our audience is here, this is content. It's like where they meet because there's something really important, even in just how your brain chemistry works when you're being creative, when you're creating things. There's a huge element of reception, being received, being heard that comes with creation. If you're not being received, heard, if no one likes what you're doing, you're probably going to feel like giving up. You're like, why am I doing this? Because no one cares.
Burn out.
But as soon as you're going to burn out. You're like, why am I doing this? But even just getting like one good comment, like I got one comment from someone the other day and I swear it's going to keep me going for another month. And it's just one comment every now and then, but it's like, okay, cool. Something I'm doing is resonating with someone out there. This makes it worth it. I want to keep doing this. And so what you mentioned about having these things you wanted to talk about, things you wanted to do and breaking out of your shell. And now what you're speaking about, it's a very different message than what it was before. And it's also much more natural. It comes easy to you. And to me, in my opinion, it totally demonstrates how one of a kind everyone's own personal brand is. Because if you can't know what it is when you start. But once you develop it, you develop your voice, you get comfortable, you're finally making content that people resonate with, then suddenly you're this one-of-a-kind package and anything you talk about is perfect because no one else can talk about it.
That's a really cool thing about it, right? It's like no one else can be you. So you're basically establishing yourself in cyberspace, you know? You're like establishing yourself as an individual in cyberspace. And so, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think of it like that, but that's a pretty far out there thought.
Yeah, because far out there guy, Michael. We're these like multidimensional beings. We're these multidimensional people, right? We have all these different layers and aspects to us. And how many people in the world do you know most of those layers? Like maybe your sister, some of your parents, but even then you don't know all the layers. Right. And so now imagine you're broadcasting yourself to billions of people. How many layers are you actually able to show? And there's an important element of privacy here. Like my wife, she knows most of my layers, right? Even like myself at my best, myself at my worst. But when we're putting ourselves out there, as you said, establishing an identity in cyberspace, then there can only be so many layers. Like this might be a good time to talk about that Venn diagram. Like when you're starting to figure out, when you're starting to figure out who you are as that cyber identity, you need to know what it is you're talking about. And you might not know it at first. But so this exercise me and Michael did is we create a triple Venn diagram, like that icky guy. And you just put in these umbrella topics that you talk about. And then your face is in the middle. And then the cross section of all these topics is what you talk about. And it's fairly broad. It might feel like when you have a niche that you're limiting yourself, but once you connect three niches, you have so much room to play.
Yes. So I think that it'd be a good idea to talk about kind of like the process of just creating the Venn diagram, right?
I'm going to try to put this on screen. Okay. Yeah, can you talk about it?
Yeah. So basically you look for those three elements, right, that really define you and that you're okay with sharing out to the public, right? And so for me, it was, okay, I'm a Bitcoiner, right? I'm an entrepreneur and I'm interested in El Salvador right now, right? So those were the three elements. And so within each cross section, there's a convergence between El Salvador and Bitcoin, for instance, and there's a convergence between El Salvador and entrepreneur. And there's a convergence, and sometimes there's a convergence between all three of them, right? And then all three is me and what I project. And why I found this exercise, which we basically came up with, like organically, right? We're like, okay, you know, at first we were structuring it as a list, and then I think Jordan, you might have had the idea to do this as a Venn diagram, and it revealed so much. So now this is the lens in which I am creating content around. And all of this is me. It's just, I've chosen that this is the part of me that I'm going to be projecting, right? And I like it, right? I like working with confinement. Otherwise, if you go on my Twitter, you know, over the past few years, I've been all over the place. One day I'm talking about God. The next day I'm talking about the government. The next day I'm talking about entrepreneurship. The next day I'm, you know, like, or the next day I'm just bitching, or maybe I'm bitching for a whole week about the state of the world, you know, like it was just all over the place. Now I feel good because now I know that I can project positivity, right? I know that when those negative, we have the impulse to project negativity out into the world, right? It's like what we're wired for, because it's just, you know, whenever there was danger around, right, we had to alert the tribe, the rest of the tribe and so forth. So like, I think that human beings are just naturally inclined to like project negativity, but I think as human beings we also have the capacity to overcome that impulse. And so for what I want to do is I want to project positivity, and I love that I have a framework for doing that, you know. So I'll just explain the vent. Go ahead.
I to your point, this is really important, and not to get too woo-woo about it, but this is where we as like a species are in this moment of the more people making this conscious decision to overcome that impulse of negativity, which I think we can go more nuanced about it, but that's a good way to look at it, because we're literally wired to want that attention, like to put attention towards these negative, scary things, because it has everything to do with our survival, or so we think. Or so we're wired to think. But the more we can consciously decide to overcome these impulses of our physiology, then that's how we're going to see hugely significant changes on this planet. And I believe things like Bitcoin, what's happening in El Salvador, new leadership, all these things are really contributing towards more and more people seeing that. And so I really respect what you just said, is how can I project more positivity? I'm going to overcome that impulse and project the positivity, because that's ultimately what's going to essentially broadcast the message you want to put out there.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, this is a conversation that I had this past weekend with Ajak, but like everything is energy transfer, right? And so if I'm interested in leaving this world off better than I found it. And I think that most of us are interested in that way, but we're just unaware that, you know, sometimes the energy that we project has a negative impact on that ultimate goal. And so I think turning that around, becoming conscious and aware of it and of the energy that you're putting out there, is something that, you know, I'm thinking deeply about now, because, you know, I used to be a negative energy projector. So, you know, now
shit it's talker.
Yeah. It's making that, and it's not that you ignore, if you look at my Twitter, it's not that you don't acknowledge reality, right? Or that you ignore it. It's just that you're like, look, that these are circumstances, and let's do the best we can to turn this thing around by projecting positive energy, you know? And I feel like a lot of that is through building the world that we want to see. And so this is where, like, all of this is coming from, you know?
I love that. So I got the Venn diagram on screen here, so we can run through it. Why don't you run through it for us? So we've got the three main circles.
Yeah. Okay. So we got three main circles. This is kind of the image that I want to project, the energy that I want to project out there. It's a Bitcoiner, right? And so, but what about being a Bitcoiner do I want to focus on? Do I want to focus on number go up, fucking, you know, cheerleading, you know, BlackRock entering the market? No, that's not
fuck me. Fuck shit coins. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not me. What I do want to promote, so if we're going to keep this on a positive projection, I want to promote a parallel economy, right? I want to promote an economy that uses sound money and you know, where people can get paid in a money that isn't perpetually being diluted, right? So, and also that gives us a way out of a CBDC if they try to do something like that, you know? Like, let's build out this parallel economy. So I'm going to highlight that through my brand. Wherever they're building out a parallel economy, or wherever I can be a part of a parallel economy, that's what I'm going to promote, because I want to see more of that in the world, because that's going to allow us to escape the tyranny of the central bankers or whatever amorphous blob of dark energy is out there.
And boom.
And then the other.
And so that's. Finish your thought.
I was going to go, so I stopped there because I'm going to go into sovereignty, but if you got a thought on that, I would love to hear it.
Oh no, I was going to comment this on this Venn diagram exercise to begin with. So just to what we're doing here is we got these three umbrella topics, and then we essentially come up with three subtopics, one of which is going to be at the intersection with each other umbrella. And so that's what we're looking at here, and that's what let's go. Sovereignty.
All right. So yeah, and then the other thing about being a Bitcoiner is sovereignty, right? Living a life that's in alignment with who you are, which is grounded towards the truth, which is which you can live, right? A life that's you become so there's so many things. This is the hard thing about sovereignty, right? And we talk about this a lot, Jordan. It's really hard to encompass all of what sovereignty means to me, you know, because it's more than just being independent. It's actually knowing who you are and then designing your life to be in alignment with that identity of who you are.
Yeah. I heard Tim Kennedy say once, sovereignty is the step past freedom. So like, you're free and all that, but sovereignty is like, no, I'm so free. I don't need anyone else. I'm completely self-resilient, self-sustainable, self-sovereign over my life.
Gotcha. I don't know how much, because so we're going to get into a little discussion of sovereignty right now, because when I hear that, I think in order to be sovereign, we really need to be aligned. We need our lives to be aligned with our core values and who we are as a person, but also who we are as a human being. And part of that, I think, relies on us building relationships where we depend on other people, right? So if we define sovereignty as being independent, then like we dismiss that idea that, you know, a lot of our value and a lot of our meaning of life comes from those relationships, you know, where we're dependent on our wife to you know, take care of the home or whatever. We're dependent on my brother to do this or whatever. Like those are aspects where that dependence affects your sovereignty, but.
Well, then let's talk about it from the Bitcoiner perspective. How dependent do you want to be on a bank holding your wealth?
There you go. There you go.
And how dependent do you want to be on a machine, this huge industry that creates your food? So sure, relationships are, you know, community, tribalism is how humans got this far, 100%. But that pure sense of...
This is such a good exercise. Like, you're just making, like, what we're doing right here is also a discovery process. Because I don't think we've properly, like, gone over this Venn diagram. I mean, and really talked about each term, you know, and related to, like, my brand. And so... Perfect. You just made me realize how I'm going to talk about sovereignty from now on, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think we can almost, and we mentioned this yesterday in our failed space, is that just because we have, so we have Bitcoin at the intersection of Bitcoiner and El Salvador. We have freedom at the intersection of El Salvador entrepreneur. Obviously, freedom can go under Bitcoiner as well. Like we can mix and match here. But, There could be an argument that sovereignty could be at the intersection of Bitcoiner and El Salvador as well. And that would come from a more nation state level is, hey, this state's going to become sovereign over its food production, for example. That's something in my experience, having an Argentine wife and spending time in Argentina, they seem pretty sovereign over their food. Like if there was a global supply chain crisis, yeah, there wouldn't be some things, but like they'd have plenty of meat. There'd be plenty of steaks. There'd be plenty of food to go around because it's been so essentially closed off that they're not really super dependent on the rest of the world for their food. And that to me is an essence of sovereignty.
There you go. Absolutely, it is for sure. Okay, let's move on to, let's talk about the intersection between El Salvador and Bitcoiner, which is Bitcoin. Yeah. You put that there. Let's talk about it.
Well, yeah. So obviously Bitcoiners are into Bitcoin and so is El Salvador. And so what does that actually mean? Because Bitcoin isn't just, I mean, for anyone listening, we have 66 views right now. I have no idea how many people are actually watching, but like Bitcoin is not just like some asset to invest in. It's not just money. It's a whole ethos and a philosophical framework. And I was just talking to my first Bitcoin guys today about it. Is like, it's not just about sound money. It's about everything that comes with it. It's about proof of work. It's about don't trust, verify. It's about this kind of sense of sovereignty. And this is where the intersection of Bitcoin and El Salvador comes in, because a lot of this philosophy is coming through President Bukele.
Well, yeah, but in relation to my brand, I think what I'm doing, what that signifies is that, you know, there's a Bitcoin story in El Salvador. There's a Bitcoin community in El Salvador, and so. You know, that's also going to be a large part of, you know, my online personal brand, right? Like, telling the Bitcoin story over there, or talking about my involvement in the Bitcoin story over there. Does it make sense?
Totally. So that's part of this discovery process, right? Is we're looking at it from a lens of community.
Yeah, I think so. I think Bitcoin community might be a
Bitcoin term
ecosystem or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and let's move into El Salvador then when we talk about community and ecosystem.
Let me just make a note here for whoever's listening. But like this kind of iterative approach to like refining, you know, stuff that we're working on, you know, it's something that Jordan and I do often, right? We sit there, we talk about it. And we kind of just start to chip away until we get a finished kind of idea of the direction we want to go in, or, you know, what it is that we're building. Would you say?
Yeah, that's one thing that's one thing I've appreciated about working with you, because not everyone understands the gravity. Not everyone grasps how personal a personal brand is. Like, it's some deep shit. Like, this is why a lot of my exercises and prompts in, like, my 7-day authentic video challenge, which you can sign up for free in my bio, like, it has prompts in there to start making video and start exploring yourself. And some of them might be uncomfortable. Like, you're forced to just talk about and explore things that you don't normally do. People think that they can just become a creator, become an influencer, start a brand without really doing the hard work of getting into the nuance, the subtleties of what it is you're trying to say. And I believe, and I think Michael's proving it, the deeper you can go into it and taking it very seriously, the more success you'll find, because the more refined your message will be.
Absolutely. Yeah, and dude, this is why, I mean, we're going to get to this later on in the presentation, but I'll just touch on it briefly, is that, you know, I was waiting for someone like you, actually, right? I knew that there was a piece of the puzzle that I was missing, and that was somebody that could connect with me on, like, the sovereign aspect, you know, the big ideas, like understanding not just how, you know, not just Bitcoin, but the whole bigger picture, how sovereignty integrates into all parts of our lives. And remember, I wrote that kind of like the 16 pillars or 15 pillars of sovereignty.
Yeah.
And you read that and you're like, dude, you got this all kind of like the practical aspect of it all figured out. And you're like, I got more of the abstract aspect of it all figured out. And he sent me what you wrote. And I was like, oh, this dude gets it, you know? And so I think that right now and that makes our conversations very fruitful, right? Because when I'm understanding a concept and I've reached my limit, you can take what I've said and then expand upon it and extract more wisdom and insight from it. And so it's a very synergistic process that occurs because we're aligned there, like philosophically, ideologically, because we've like studied in depth about exactly these subjects, which, you know, I can't say, I don't know how you could replicate that. All I'm just saying is that for me, I was scanning out there for that person that could like really like pull a lot of this stuff out of me, you know? And so when I saw you, I was like, yeah, boom, that's the guy.
Yeah, it's funny too. I appreciate that. It's funny too how, yeah, this relationship has developed into something that I couldn't have really anticipated, because when I started Creator Sovereignty, it was with this philosophy behind it. Like, you know, I really think becoming a creator, building a personal brand, is a very powerful exercise towards exploring what sovereignty means to you. And I don't know if there's anything more important in life than discovering what sovereignty means to you, because it'll help you reclaim your time, your energy, your relationships, everything. And I believe it'll help direct you onto your own path of happiness and self-fulfillment that only you can do. Like, no one else can tell you what it is. You can learn and have mentors and all that, but only you and your sense of sovereignty will really help be like that compass. So it's funny because I still think you're the only person that's resonated really strongly with that message, because I was like building my whole brand, this whole thing about that. And I just need to work on my communication and messaging better, because so far, like, it hasn't really, you know, hasn't really taken off. Well, but to me, it's like an important thing.
I think right now these conversations, I think that we should continue to have these conversations. We should probably have this conversation multiple times, like this exact conversation, because as we do each time, we're going to refine it. And I think what people are going to then get as a final product is something that really communicates what a sovereign creator is, you know? And then so that basically does all the groundwork for you. And so by the time those people that connect with it and latch onto it, by the time they finish whatever, let's say we build a 10 module like conversation course between you and I about what a creator sovereign is or what a online personal brand is, right? By the time they finish those 10 videos or those 10 conversations, they're already, you know, they're already on board. They're already like on the mindset that they need to be in order to, you know, get maximum results from you working with them or from me working with them, whatever it is. So something to think about. I think that what I am is a prototype, right? That is going to reveal the entire process to you of how to take someone from, you know, where I was to, you know, a full on personal brand or digital identity, you know?
Interesting. It's really interesting, actually. But yeah, it starts with that messaging for sure. Let's
Okay.
keep going.
All right. We'll talk about all right, well, since we're in El Salvador, so the other
Yeah.
thing that I'm going to highlight there in El Salvador is also that it's a new era, right? Like I think we did this spectacularly with the video that we put out yesterday. And again, let's touch on that video. So that video really
Yeah.
like highlighted a new era. It highlighted how Bukele has come in there, he's cleaned up shop, he's you know, taking actions that are beneficial to his people, right? And that he is not afraid to take action, and that he is his own man. And so this is a new era. Welcome to the rebirth of El Salvador, right? Think about that. So, like that's literally we captured, even though we didn't consciously like say, hey, we should make some new era content, right? We captured that statement there in the El Salvador thing through that video yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yep, and I'm just gonna play it in the background here. I don't think we'll hear it. We might hear it, but 105,000 views, man. 1,500 likes. Pretty powerful. Those are some pretty good stats, at least in my experience. it's not playing. But
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
you can see this on Michael's Twitter page, everyone. Sov Mindset. Yeah, it's a good video. And just if we could talk about this video for a second. I don't want to stray too far from our Venn diagram, but this is a collection of you did a podcast last week. You talked about the president, President
again,
Bukele.
real quick, Jordan, first podcast, in-person podcast that I've done, right? And so it's like, again, a lot of what we've been doing is preparing for these opportunities.
Is your first live stream too, you said, huh?
First live stream, right? Like I'm all in. So that's the other thing.
Awesome.
When you de when you decide that you're all in, right? You're not pussyfooting around anymore, right? You're like, I'm gonna do whatever it takes, and I'm going to absorb the consequences for it, whatever they are, whether it be embarrassment, whether it be failure, whether it be triumph, right? Like I'm going for it. And you know, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen, yeah, again, is those like little things, those little hits to the ego. But who cares, you know? Like build some resilience.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're never going to get anywhere if you can't handle little hits to the ego, right?
Yeah.
but it is surprising how they'll continue to get us, you know, randomly. But anyway, so this video is a collection of your first podcast. So that's awesome in itself, right? This is your first outing, right? Your first presentation into the world. You're confident, you're doing it. You did a great job. And then it collects footage that we shot 3 months ago in El Salvador with me as the cameraman trailing you before you were really confident enough to do it. And most of the footage we did get are really good interviews of locals, of expats living in El Salvador. It's combined with that. And we formed it all together with footage of the president of El Salvador, who's been making appearances in the media lately, or at least like trending on Twitter, talking about how like, why are we taxed when they're just printing money out of thin air? What's what, you know, why are we taxed? What they're saying it's to run the government. He's talking about how are we letting like the elitists, the globalists, they hit a brick wall in El Salvador. None of that here. Like he's really saying the right things to a big demographic of people, and it's really resonating. And so we tied all that together in this video. We put some flashy editing and effects to it, and boom, it blew up.
Yeah, I knew it would. It just, I mean, here's the other thing. So all, about this video, right? This is not something that you can just do. So for instance, this video has been 3, 4 months in the making, and we didn't even know it, right? We had to go, like, that's the thing. In order to do these things and produce interesting content, you're gonna have to take action. It's not like you can just be at home, like, you know, people, especially if you want it to be authentic and you want it to be compelling and you want it to connect with people. It's like we actually went to El Salvador. We actually, you know, asked to talk to local business owners. We actually engaged with the people over there. We asked them to tell us about El Salvador on camera. We captured that footage. We reviewed that footage. We organized that footage. And so when I did this podcast, you know, this is in the back of our mind already, like that we have this footage. And so I'm like, yo, you know what would be good here? Like, that's where the creative process comes and came about, right, Jordan? It's like you and me talking. I'm like, dude, I saw this, you know, I posted this Miss Universe thing of him saying, you know, the brilliant minds come to El Salvador. I was like, that would be perfect there. And then, you know, you were saying, yeah. And then what do you think about if we get this guy, Roberto, who was talking about, you know, how people are going to like Bukele. I was like, boom, that would be perfect. And together we came up with the outline for this video. And then you did your video editing magic. And the combination of the creativity that went into the planning of the video, as well as the visual stimulation. I mean, I think that just knocked it out the park.
Yeah. And just so everyone knows, because this is a big deal, the president of El Salvador retweeted this video. And so did which secretary? The secretary of the president?
Yeah. The press secretary of El Salvador.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's El Salvador. It's not the biggest country, but it's still a country. It's a head of state acknowledging our work here. So
I was nervous on that podcast that I was on, you know, it was my first, I was stuttering. So you just gotta take risks, like, you know, and then those risks will turn into like little assets down the road, you know?
Totally. And huge wins. I mean, if you're not nervous, there's probably nothing to gain from it. If you're not taking a risk, even if it's just an ego risk, then what are you really going to gain from something? And when I say gain, I don't mean just some kind of tangible number on a screen or something we can see, but actually like a lesson or something that makes us as a stronger person, something that makes us better in ways that only we know we can get better.
Exactly.
Cool. I just played through the video there. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, you got to get out of the comfort zone to grow.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go back to this Venn diagram here. You want to talk about El Salvador for a little bit? Did we cover El Salvador yet?
So let's talk about it from the perspective of my brand. From that, we're talking about the new era. We're talking about the renaissance that's happening there. So that's a lot of what I'm going to be projecting through my social media, right? Through my content. Then you have entrepreneur and you have El Salvador and you have freedom in between. You know, that's just highlighting how, you know, there's all this opportunity over there and that, you know, you have the freedom to go after it. Basically, this is what Bukele said. He said, you know, we want people to know that El Salvador, you know, they'll have the freedom to pursue their dreams, something to that nature, right? And so I think that's the convergence that's occurring there. We're going to film content of me searching out real estate. We're going to film content of me, you know, doing interesting things over there, like that really signify a life full of freedom, full of you know, not with restrictions or so forth. Make sense?
And just empowerment, I think.
Empowerment, I think.
Good word to use.
You hit it, yeah. And then cool. we'll go to entrepreneur. And so entrepreneur, this is what we're doing here. We're building out in the open, I'm building my personal brand out in the open. This is what this conversation is actually. And I'm building my company, my logistics company out there out in the open. And in both cases, I'm going to be sharing lessons on what I'm learning, and I'm going to be sharing the mistakes I make. I'm going to be sharing what's working for me, the process I'm following, and so forth. And so a lot of my content is going to be focused on that as well. And then the lifestyle as an entrepreneur, you know, hey, I'm going to go buy a Rolex, right? I'm going to show, you know, me buying a Rolex, and I might talk.
Are you?
Yeah. And I'm actually going to talk about it because it's not something that is with like what it means to me or so forth, you know, like what it signifies to me, why I'm buying it or so forth. So that would be something, or what's another lifestyle? like what I'm trying to do is with the lifestyle is provide valuetainment, right? Or infotainment, right? Where it's like, you know, look at Mike, he's, you know, he's working out on this exotic beach, but like within that is a message or is a takeaway that the listener, it's not just entertainment, right? It's not just this, you know, hunk of a man working out. It's there's a takeaway with it.
As I follow a business coach that has had a similar message, and he explains all the time why he bought this certain Mercedes. Like it's the mm-hmm. lifestyle. Like I'm proving to my demographic, like this is it.
Yeah. So I'll just tell you why I would buy the Rolex, right? So for me, I've been wearing a $500 Citizen watch, right? And I bought that at the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. And I said, when I feel like I've reached a certain milestone, I'll reward myself with a Rolex, not a $10,000 Rolex. You know, we're not going high end here. And so, you know, I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm getting close, right? I think once I start bringing in a reoccurring income, even if it was $50, it's like that signifies you got the engine started. You're not revving it all the way, but you got the engine started. All right, you get your Rolex, you know? So that's but look, it took a year and a half. But for me, what that Rolex is not there to bling, right? That's a $10,000 Rolex, right? Like that Rolex signifies all the hard work, all the effort that I put in to this journey, you know? And it's a milestone that I could look back on. It's something that I could pass on to my kid. It's something like it's an emblem of something meaningful to me, right? And I chose watches because everyone chose watches. You could choose whatever it is that you want. I mean, I'm sure some people use cars or whatever to like commemorate their milestones and stuff like that, but I think I like the idea, and it's been motivating me.
Yeah, it's almost like a ritualistic symbol. I'm trying to think how I do that in my life. I like to buy gear. Like when things were moving a few months ago, I bought this nice new microphone for podcasting mm-hmm. for things. It was $500, right? Not exactly a low budget expense for me. Or I'll buy a new camera lens. I built a computer a few years ago, which was a really big thing, but only when I'm feeling that same momentum. So yeah, I think that's kind of how I do it, is with gear and things like that. I've never been much of a watch, or like, I get all my clothes at thrift stores. Like I've never really cared about that kind of stuff. As long as the car will get me from A to B and I can put music on, like great. So yeah, that's interesting. And definitely probably a good point to bring up too. Just give yourself rewards. Make sure, and I have this in my routine, my resolutions for this year is embed into my routines more psychological wins. So I can be like, oh, cool. Like I got a win, because I know what it's like to have just a drought of nothing, like no feeling of success for months. And it really sucks. But if you embed something where, even if it's small, you know, something like a message or something small, $50, like you said, like make that a win. And because those wins are going to keep you going. And then when you, I guess, stack a win with a reward, I mean, maybe you're not buying a $500 microphone or a $10,000 Rolex after making $50, but something, treat yourself to something nice within that budget, then you're almost reinforcing that win. Like, hey, I want to get more of those wins, right?
Yeah. I think that it's tricky. Like, I think the psychology there is, it depends, right? So, for me, like the win really signified a big milestone, right? But if you're rewarding yourself too often, it might be like you need to challenge yourself a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Sure, totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, you might only reward yourself once, and then it's like, okay, now it's on to the next step. Like we're gonna up the ante here. Totally.
Yeah.
So I think
go ahead. So the last thing I was gonna say in lifestyle is just another example. So for instance, it might be me find business class, right? I wouldn't normally find business class, but like there's a lesson there too, right? Like I'm grinding, I'm working, I'm sleeping in hotels, I'm traveling forth between, it's a trade-off, you know? Yeah, there's money there, there's money that I'm making, but all of that is a trade-off. And so, you know, you still work and you're still grinding. And so, you know, I heard this thing where it's like, you can do four hard things before you need one nice thing to keep you going, you know? And for me, it might be that like, yeah, that seat in business class, right? That's what that makes all the hard work that I did before worth it. Like, I get to sit here, I get to relax, I get to feel like, you know, perfect. You know, so what I'm trying to say is that even though I'm showing business class, it's not to flaunt, it's not to show off, it's to like, it's to communicate that message, you know, because maybe that message can help someone. Maybe there's like, yeah, you know what? I need a break. I need to hang out with my family. I need to reward myself with hanging out with my family because I did 4 hard things today. So I'm going to do this guilt-free, take time to be with my family as my reward, you know? So these are kind of examples of what I mean.
It makes sense to me, totally. The last step we got is the proof of work, and that's where entrepreneur connects to Bitcoiner. And this kind of goes into what I was saying earlier about the philosophy. I would say proof of work is like the foundation. It's almost like a religion for some people.
Yeah. Proof of work is exactly what I'm doing as an entrepreneur by building out in public, right? And it's exactly what I'm doing in my life as a Bitcoiner, where I'm aligning my actions and my surroundings to the ethos of Bitcoin, you know? So this is all like proof of work. Like my entire Venn diagram is proof of work. Like, I'm actually putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm actually doing what I say. And I think that, you know, I think in today's world, it's kind of rare actually. And so I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards that.
And just for anyone that has never heard of proof of work before, it's essentially the underlying algorithm of Bitcoin, which requires any machine running the Bitcoin mining software to prove that it can handle this mathematical work in order to contribute to the hash power and security of the network.
Yeah. Let me ask you
something. That's what makes the money sound, essentially. What's up?
Anyone watching?
I don't know who's watching. We have 80 views. So I don't know if there's anyone watching now or people have just come in and out. But I'm stoked on this, man. I'm going to put it on my YouTube and my podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. I like this. This is a good conversation. I think there might be a couple shorts in there as well.
Probably several.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm good to stop here. I know we got more, but I mean, I'm kind of like,
yeah, we've been at it an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. An hour is generally a pretty good amount of time to do something like this. So cool. To wrap it all up, you got any closing words you want to say, Mike?
No, I'm excited about what we're going to build. I think that these little calls that we're having, these strategy calls, I think that they're going to be improved. I think that I think that anyone listening to this who's trying to do what we're doing, I think there was a ton of value that this got dropped there, you know? And these are like, this isn't just somebody repeating ideas that they learned from a book. This is from like real deal, like going through the process, which, you know, brings an extra layer of validity that you can have the confidence to kind of apply these strategies and these principles and this framework to your own life.
And it's cool to have this conversation outside of the bubble of Money X or Creator X or whatever, because a lot of people just talk about things like this, they share their platitudes, whatever, without actually living a real life. I mean, there's a real life, obviously, but it's not going to another country to build a business, flying back and forth, dealing with these new philosophies, navigating that labyrinth of nation state tyranny, all this stuff, right? So we actually have a really interesting story with a lot of different environments and variables at play, which I think makes this conversation a lot more valuable than the typical content you'd find just about someone who stumbled into the creator economy, knew how to start a business, knew how to generate attention and traffic with content, and then just did it. So you can learn from those people all day, but I think we're kind of pivoting away and being like, you know, we're going to live a cool real life. We're going to do stuff out in the open. We're going to build in public, not just by sharing something on a screen, but actually sharing the people we meet, sharing the sites we see, sharing these things that are happening. So I don't mean to bash on anyone out there. I just see this as a different form of that same kind of value and perspective being offered. And to that end, I'm sure we'd love to talk to you. Maybe you can come on the show sometime if you are also building like this. Anyone out there?
Listen, we are having these conversations are going to get so good that we need to have some type of like professional setup here, because like I feel like just this as a recap for us to get on the same page, you know, to go over. We can do weekly reviews. We can do kind of, this is kind of what this is, but man, we only tapped into so much right now, but we need to have a setup here where we can engage in people and that we're going to be producing quality content.
So live from Sovereign Studios in El Salvador.
We might need to just do this. Like, we need to get this compound going ASAP. And the first thing we build before we build our beds or even have beds is like, let's get this
podcast studio.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even call it a podcast studio. I'd call it a creator studio, you know? And then I've been telling people with this vision, that we have, and you know, we are going to help entrepreneurs make reality their dreams, especially if they're aligned with our vision. So that's the other thing that we're going to do. If we're, you know, if we can help people build out our vision, you know, and create that win-win situation, like that's what we want to do with our studio. Would you say so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're just teasing the audience now, but we got big things in store, people. And the amount of building in public that's going to be happening is going to be crazy. I also think it's really cool. I was just thinking how we're going to need microphones like this. And we can use your shipping company that we're also building in public to get these things down to El Salvador. And something about that feels really cool.
Everything about it. That's what I talked to this guy today. That's the other thing that's happening right now. Because we're building in public, it allows people to resonate with your message, with your mission. It allows people to connect, to want to be able to help, or to want to be able to join. So, man, I am getting so much support and resources thrown my way, building in public. Like, for any business, like any entrepreneur, I think this is a no-brainer. You know, I think we're coming out of the fiat world where everything was cutthroat because of fiat currency, right? So it was a very hyper-competitive environment. But I think right now the real nuggets are in collaboration, in collaborating with people, you know, in a very synergistic way, and creating win-wins. And being transparent and open, because I think that that's the where the world is moving to, especially with AI. You know, you're not gonna know who to trust, and it's like everything is inauthentic, right? When everything's inauthentic, what stands out? That which is authentic. So I think that's where we're going.
And this harkens back to the beginning of our conversation with the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And that is, humans have collaborated forever. That's how we survived. And then somehow in this industrial age, we went away from that. This amorphous blob of corporations and big government and all this, they somehow managed to convince a few generations that we don't need each other. We just need them. So now, thanks to whatever you want to call it, Bitcoin, El Salvador, sovereignty movement, whatever, we're realizing that there's something much greater at play here, and that's diving deeper into returning to our true natures, which is we're community, we're collaborative. It's not necessarily about getting rich, nor is it necessarily about just survival. It's about, it feels good to collaborate. Wow.
On that note, it's a good note. Here's the thing, though. We've been collaborating, Jordan. I think we wouldn't collaborate. We wouldn't be where we're at right now if we didn't meet up and spend those 7-8 days in person, like literally almost 24 hours a day. Like, So that's where I think that the incubator, I don't know if I want to call it incubator. What would we call it? Like we'll come up with a name, but something.
Incubator is a good term for now, I think.
Okay. It's a good placeholder. If we can come up with something better, that's what's going to be powerful about that. Right? Because you're going to get all these minds under one roof, and that is going to create long-lasting relationships and partnerships. That's going to create the foundation of trust. That's going to allow you to get to know other people and how they work. And that way, it can, you know, and that's where grace can be found. Like, for instance, when we work together, you know when I'm in a mood, you know when I know when you're in a mood, you know, I know how you work best, you know how I work best, or we're getting to that level, you know, of understanding the other person. And I think that's what really makes a good collaboration, right, is also that understanding of the other person, right? And and that's what you get from being in the vicinity of someone. And so I think that's why our little incubator that we're going to be building out is going to be powerful.
Yeah. 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 Once again, going back to this human to human, peer to peer IRL vibe is like, how can we just, you know, COVID, the whole COVID thing brought us further apart than like phones and social media was doing anyway. But I hope we can be a good example of how important it is to come back together as people, meet in real life, do things in real life, make some sacrifices, take some risks. It's okay. It's worth it.
But it's amazing. Again, it's just another aspect of how these projects are basically aligned with our core composition, right? Like, and like what we want to see in the world. Like, we want to bring people together back in real life communities and back in real life connections, right? And so we're building a business around that. Like, that's in a place that like values that, you know, with a currency that supports that. Like, it's like, dude, it doesn't get more aligned than that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Yeah, the whole story is pretty incredible. And maybe we'll talk about it more next on the next episode, because I think this was a good teaser for today.
I love it, man. That was a great conversation.
All right. Well, thanks for watching. 90 views. So we keep going for 10 more minutes. I'm sure we'll get to 100, but I don't think I have 10 more minutes.
You want to hit it? Okay.
You got a topic? We can keep going down that. I think we're too organic now to stick with the notes.
Well, they could act as, you know, okay. We can talk about a little bit of the content. So there's basically two styles of content that we're doing. And I think you just mentioned it, right? Like, but I forgot what you said. So, but we're going to be, you mentioned it by saying, okay, on the next episode, right? And that's also one of the things that we're doing is since we are building out in public, and this is a very chronological order of events that are happening, right? We're telling our story. We're telling the story. And we're using stories as content, right? Like, this happened to me today, or this part of the process got built out, or, you know, stuff like that. So we're going to gravitate to telling a lot of stories and implanting lessons within those stories. So that's the infotainment aspect of this and the educational aspect of this, right? But we're also going to do, what was the other one? Yeah, so there's infotainment and storytelling. Those are two kind of avenues which we're going to be producing content from.
Yeah, you wrote reality show here too. But I guess that's the same thing.
But this right here, what would you call that? I mean, this is a different form of content, but it looks like we're making it now, you know? So podcasting? Or
I guess podcasting is the umbrella term, right? Live streaming.
So you could add that there. I don't know if you have your Notion open, but that'd be something like that.
Yeah, I'm not with my keyboard, only with a mouse. But yeah, I think this format, I think it's hit and miss at different times with different audience members, but it's still important. Like, I get random people telling me how they stumbled upon my podcast and they go listen through every episode. I'm like, wow, why? But I'm glad it's there, even though most of those episodes got very little attention or love when they were published.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm realizing the same thing. Like, I just went back and listened to my podcast on El Salvador right after they announced that they're going on the Bitcoin standard, or that they're, you know, they didn't even pass the bill yet, I think, or they just passed the bill. But to go back and listen to what I said and what I was thinking at that time makes me realize that this is the path that I was always supposed to be on, you know? And I'm so glad I recorded that podcast. I'm so glad I had that discussion. You know, I get to see where my mindset was at, where I was at that time. I'm the only regret I have is I just don't have more. But that's going to change now.
Yeah, I'm someone who I don't know. I don't delete my old YouTube channels, but sometimes there'll be content where I'm like, I don't really want that for posterity. We don't need to see that in a few years. And that's definitely shame oriented, something I could work on in myself. But for the most part, yeah, I like looking at my old YouTube channels from 10 years ago and just seeing what I was up to and what I was talking about. And some of it's cringy watching it now, but I'm like, you know, it's okay. Who cares? That's just who I was. Yeah, thanks for joining, everyone.
Peace.